very much for tuning in. We are back here after a long hiatus here with Food for the Soul. I'm Austin York, as always, joined by Bob and Kim Soller. And for the first time, you can see us. We're trying out this Zoom thing, and we're going to see if this is something that we're going to continue on going forward. But it's been a while since you've heard from both Bob and Kim and from myself. And so this whole episode is really going to be dealing with basically the last year. We haven't really spoken to each other. Even between the three of us, we've exchanged some texts and everything like that. But this is really a catch-up episode, and so I'm excited to dive in. And I'll start with you. The last time that we spoke, I believe, was in April of 2020. So we're in or 2021, that is. The middle of the pandemic. God, time is flying. Really in the middle of the pandemic, everything's going crazy. Vaccine had just come out, and people were all waiting to get that and stuff. And then, unfortunately, you had a little bit of a health issue. Talk a little bit about what, Kim, I'm talking about. What is the latest? What happened? Where are you at now? Kind of tell us what the last year been like.
Well, it's been a really, my husband was in 2020. Mm-hmm. We found out that he had an aortic aneurysm, and that was by the grace of God. And he had that surgery. And then I said, well, I better get a health checkup. I just better go in and just get checked up. So I don't go in for mammograms often because we don't have cancer in our family. We didn't have anything like that. But I said, let's go for that. So I get in there. And the radiologist says, well, you have breast cancer. I said, well, no, I think that's fake news. I go, show it to me.
Fake news.
Yeah. Fake news. And so, you know, I'm the show me girl. So I'm like, I need to see it. So she showed me the screen and she goes, you do. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, it was beautiful because my Bible study group, my prayer group, there's this lady, she's 80 years old and she's beautiful and she just radiates the love of the Lord all over her. And she goes, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. Kimberly, I need to talk to you. So I'm like, okay. So I was on a phone call with her from Tyler, Texas, all the way back to Keller. And it was like a 2-hour talk. And she goes, now, Kimberly, I want you to meet my best friend. She is my very best friend from when I was a little girl. You need to call her and I'm going to give you her phone number. And, she said her name is Dee Simmons. This is her phone number. You know, Dee Simmons, Simmons Cancer Institute at UT Southwestern. That's her. Wow. Uh-oh, and man. I went, at that moment, I felt like the God who sees me. You know, I had no idea. When you find out you have cancer, you don't know where to go, who to turn to, what doctors to use. You're kind of like a baby trying to learn calculus. You're like, how do I do that? Well, I called her. She called me right back. She goes, you know, Jackie is my very best friend. And she is going, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you my doctors and just let, you know. And so she's walked with me through the whole thing. She's a beautiful person. Everybody should know Dee Simmons. Like I know Dee Simmons, you know, they see her as a Mama Dee on television, the superstar. She is the most caring woman for cancer treatment patients that I've ever met in my entire life. She's helped thousands of women and men going through cancer. So I got to go through that, but I had a double mastectomy, not only one surgery, but two. When you go through surgeries, you think you're going to have one and done, and it isn't, it wasn't. Yeah. And then I got septic, you know what I mean? So all of these things happen, but when you're a believer and you walk with the Lord, it's different. I was like, okay, Lord, I felt so good going into this. And I said, you know, Lord, I feel great. And he said, well, you're going to feel better when you're done. And I'm like, well, I'm going to fly then.
That's awesome.
I'm just going to
be better on the other side.
So I went through the chemo. I went through radiation. And in September, they said, you're cancer free. And I'm like, what? So yeah, so I'm cancer free. My hair is coming back. Everything's good. So,
well, that's the thing. It's like I said the same thing when Bob went through his issue. It's like, you sure you guys are sick? You're not acting like it, and you certainly don't have any kind. I mean, I never saw any physical symptoms or anything, and your attitudes didn't show it. You kept doing the stuff with Food for the Soul. You were out there. I always saw you very present on Facebook and everything, and in different ways that you guys communicate with the people that follow you. And I'm like, and then I thought about myself. You're like, oh man, if I had cancer, people would know it. I think at least you think that way. And so talk a little bit about this time for you. I know, was there any struggle? Was there any doubt? Or was it the Lord just leaning you, just saying, lean into me and I'll lead you through this?
It was exactly that. Psalms 91, it says, you know, you take shelter underneath his wing.
Yeah.
And I'm a doer. I am a go-getter doer. Like, I'm like, Lord, should I do a Bible study? What should I do right now? In my downtime, he goes, no, be still. Be still. I'll take care of everything. Yeah. Be still. And I'm like, well, how about now? Can I do it now? And he's like, no, be still. And I'm like, okay. And that was the most beautiful walk I've really ever had. And I would never trade it for the world, because I just got closer to him. I mean, he just held me through the whole thing. And it was with my prayer warriors. I didn't have the huge side effects from chemo. I was tired and achy and things like that, but I really didn't get the severe effects. And I was really blessed through the whole thing. And God did take care of it. Our other family members, you know, stepped up, food for the soul even grew through this time. And I'm like, how about now? Can I help? He's like, no. I'm like, okay. Okay.
And I'll take care of it.
Yeah. He took care of everything and he did a better job than I could. So we're good.
And that's a natural thing of humans, you know, or man. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we wanna do something. I'm not just gonna sit on my butt and just whatever. And that sometimes is the hardest thing. The Lord says, be still. Just let me do it. And that takes a lot of faith too, because you got to give it all to the Lord and just say, I don't know where this healing is going to come from if I'm just sitting here, but it does. Bob, talk a little bit about yourself during this time. You just went through your situation. Yeah. Your wife was there. Now the shoe's on the other foot and you're seeing this. I'm assuming you were probably more of a wreck than she was during this.
That's very true. It was crazy times, right? Just as I was getting into rehab for my heart surgery, Kim gets diagnosed, and you know, then all the attention was turned to Kim and taking it on. We are a family that prays a lot, and we did, like you said, Austin, we wound up praying and relying on God, and then things really just, it was an amazing, when you really, if you start saying all the things that happened, and many people are like, well, how do you have such a good idea, or, you know, good attitude towards all of this? It is really that understanding and faith in God. And those that don't have it, I pray that they get it, because it's something that helped us get through everything that we did. It was challenging. I've half considered writing a book called Breast Cancer from a Husband's Perspective. There was a lot. And it's things like Kim said. We were trying to learn algebra as a baby, right? It was just thrown into it.
I still don't
trying
know
to come
algebra,
up with,
so forget it.
Right? Yeah. And what's our next step? And yeah, you know, we do want to keep shouting out to Dee Simmons, and they came, she came alongside and really helped. The Simmons Cancer Center here in Dallas was amazing. Literally every person on that staff walked us through this. And there were a lot of times you had to listen a couple different times to understand what was really said. And once we did that, the challenge was there, but we were able to do it. And through all of that, we still wound up providing over 18 million free meals and snacks and food for the soul.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, and that's what I was saying, man. You guys didn't slow down a bit. I wouldn't have known anything. I mean,
that's
swear.
God.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, like, and I want to really stress this. I know you guys are kind of downplaying it and let go and let God, but my God, during this time, you get breast cancer, you have heart surgery in the middle of a freaking pandemic.
Right.
I can't stress that enough. When people are saying, oh, you know, there's a lot of susceptible people to this thing, and you guys are still trucking along and getting out there when they say, well, maybe you shouldn't be touching people and being close to people and all things like that. And you're still doing it. You're still providing those meals. That's got to be
praying him.
Yes.
And again, reaching out there, especially during the pandemic, right? Prior to this, did I really know what a pandemic was? I didn't.
No.
Right? I mean, it wasn't something that was in my vocabulary. But once once we got going, God just kept opening the doors and making those connections. And the people that we got to meet and the churches we got to work with and partner with, and Texas Rangers, the Dallas Cowboys, all those people were able to rally around with us as we were going through it. And kind of like you said, not to downplay it, but during Snowmageddon is when we had to rush Kim to the emergency room all the way in Dallas. And it was, you know, it was funny because it was terrifying, but it was also confident. I got to say, there was an awful calm as we went through all of this. And it's our faith and knowing that God's got this right. And he walked through every aspect. If we ever did a real timeline of everything that happened, it's sort of unbelievable. And you know, and there's that part, right? When has impossible ever stopped you, right, God? When has impossible ever stopped you? And we walked through the impossible, and you know, we were blessed to have, I had a great job with the real-time group that supported me and our family throughout this, and then Food for the Soul, the people we got to see and the people that were walking through this. And during the pandemic, we've shared it before, but it wasn't the same people that we had been serving for the last 10 years. It was everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
We weren't just a backpack program anymore or feeding the athletes. We were feeding everybody. You know, and when people couldn't buy food, we bought it by the truckloads all around the United States and had it come in. And we got those connections. We still have those connections. We still use those connections. And we still have distribution centers that come in 3.5 hours just to pick up food from us to take it back to their counties. They serve like 7 counties around them because they don't have a food bank. So we're actually their food bank. It's beautiful how the Lord just expanded us.
And a lot, and that's what I'm saying. You said something there and used a word that I was just thinking of, expand. You had heart surgery. She had breast cancer. There was a pandemic, a snowmageddon, and despite all of that, you expanded.
We did.
That's when the whole house of cards had come down. You built on that rock, as they've done, and you started to expand. And another thing, we can't, I guess, downplay as well the Snowmageddon thing, where thousands and thousands of North Texans alone, not talking about the rest of the state, lost power and didn't have power for almost a week. And here you are rushing her. It's almost like Job, but here you are still standing.
Right.
I know. I mean, but you know, God was so good, because even though that was that Sunday, and usually we watch like 3 different services, and we're just like right into watching, you know, watching the Lord and watching listen to his word. And my temperature started to rise, and we called and they said, no, get right in here. So during the lack of electricity and water, we were at a 5-star hotel at the hospital, getting electricity, hotel, food
God
service.
Provides. However, it does.
You know, there's a little golden to that. Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Now, you talked about the expansion, and let's go into a little bit of that. How has the last year, I know that you no longer the backpack thing anymore.
But we do.
You do that, but I mean, that's not your primary focus anymore. Talk a little bit about how you are expanding on a local level, and then we'll go forward. What does your operation look like today where it may not have looked like a year ago?
Well, we are a food pantry for distribution centers in North Texas. Like, they will come to us and get food and take it back to them. We also provide locker room things for the athletes. We give and we do pregame meals still. And we're actually talking to Arlington ISD to do mini markets in their school systems. Yeah. So that way they can feed the whole family. So things are changing. You know, during last Thanksgiving and Christmas, we helped with the homeless in Arlington. They call them families in transition. They're families that are homeless that need help. So we help them through Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that's a huge need right now. You know, families are changing. The dynamics are changing. Crisis is changing, you know, the family dynamics. It's just really, we're here to help any way we can to feed the children, feed the families, feed the hungry. So we just, during the little snow thing that just happened, a couple weeks ago, last week, we helped feed 1,500 homeless at Fair Park. They said they had that
temporary shelter. Yes, that was in the automobile center there.
Yes,
right.
And they said that was a big.
It was 1,500. Yeah, because we'd always heard we were keeping an eye on how many people would come through. I think the one night, the first night, it was 500, and then I think Friday night, even though it got warmer on the following Saturday, so I guess it's a week ago today when we're recording this. It got warmer, but that Friday night it went down to 12 or something. And this was much more of an ice event than the year before, or where more snow and everything. But if I'm mistaken, you guys have more transitioned, as you said, into a food pantry. That used to not always be the case. You used to store the food, right? But then you would put it in the backpacks and send it to other. Am I right? So now you've kind of made that more transition there?
Yes, here in the North Texas. But with our expansion to Middle Tennessee, Nashville area, our son did that. And he has 57 schools on a wait list for the backpack program out there.
And that's neat. Now, again, I'll stop and we'll talk about this here since you brought it up. We know what the North Texas is thing, but now we're moving to another state in Tennessee. Talk about that process. Middle Tennessee, your son taking over. I know that he was involved pretty much from the beginning with the
people
so here. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? How did he say, hey, I think this is something I need to do?
Well, it was funny. We were praying about it. We're like, Lord, help us, with Dylan and Maggie, his wife, if this isn't where they're supposed to be, let us know. The very next day, she gets a job offer in Nashville. And it's a beautiful offer. She gets to write the curriculum for Delight Ministries. And Delight goes to colleges and helps train women in college about, not train, but teach them about Jesus and love and the love of the Lord. And so Dylan goes, can I start one out there? We're like, absolutely. So it was as simple as that.
He's like, hey, I'm just going to start it out there.
What was amazing, really, and you look at God at work, right? And it's, you always hear God's always at work. And prior to anything that Kim and I had that summer of 2020, Dylan stepped in and started saying, I want to be more involved in Food for the Soul. I want to understand more about the dynamics. How does the warehouse work? How's the throughput go? Where do you do all these? And he stepped up that entire summer and basically learned everything about what we were doing. Then I had my issue, and then Kim had her issue. And Dylan, again, God set it up. Dylan was totally prepared and ready to move us into a whole nother area. We've said it a lot that, we're very scalable. The ability for us to take things on and do new things is built on the foundation that we've had here in the Dallas area. And Dylan has just proved that there's absolutely no doubt we could go anywhere and make this happen. And our slogan is together we can make a difference, right? And you've seen it all these years, Austin. You've come with us and helped us. And we rally everybody together and make the impossible happen. And Dylan took what we considered as a possible. He just stepped into a whole nother state and then stood it up. He's even supposed to be meeting with like the governor of Tennessee at some point through his other connections. And it's amazing. And I think what's really incredible through all the things we've done is it's a pinnacle. It's joyful and heartbreaking. It's joyful that we're helping and we just keep getting bigger and moving and helping more. But right behind those people are that many more. So we continue to need help. We continue to need volunteers. We have everything from individual donors to corporate people. There's lots of ways for people to participate. And we love to have, additional people step up with us and join us in the fight to end hunger here in Texas and in Tennessee now.
And you spoke a little bit about the Tennessee. Is the need just as great there in Tennessee or more than here and even in North Texas?
It's different. I mean, it's big.
Yeah, it's big.
There's a bigger homeless, I think, in Tennessee that we're working with. And the need for in the schools are really big. And it's just boomed.
And they have their government, their state government really hones in on feeding the hungry.
Right.
They want to eliminate it or help bring it not to that standard. They want to bring up their standard of living. So they really have a focus on it. And it seems different than here. Mm-hmm. They go right to the counties that need it the most. They go to the school systems that need it the most. They're all in.
So that's pretty easy to set up something like a Food for the Soul Tennessee there, right?
Yeah. Yes and no. Yes, that it's, they have the need. It's very expensive there. So we bought a 26-foot refrigerated truck, and basically it's a mobile warehouse. We don't have warehouse space there yet. So the ability to
donate space would be great.
Yeah, donated space. Any of the amazing people that are in the music industries, if they have connections, we'd love to learn and, you know, partner with people to be able to do that. So yes, we're very scalable. We're there and we're making it happen. We certainly could use more help. And the real estate thing is hard, trying to get a space for us to set up.
And that's one of the things that I know about from just seeing, and I think everybody does, through the pandemic, the changing demographics of America, that so many people are moving to places like Tennessee, North Texas, from California, New York, and places, Illinois, from places that they find are a little bit more expensive to live. They're moving down in these areas, and it is driving the prices a bit in some of these areas. But you're seeing that changing demographic, and there's still that need, though. There's still that. Right. Talk a little bit about North Texas. You guys said you help one, but there's a dozen more people behind that person. How do you guys handle that? And how is it looking? Are you guys making any dent, or do you feel that you're still as needed as ever?
We are still as needed as ever. And even more, like, we're finding, we have this whole apartment complex of Afghanistan refugees that need different food. Like, they like halal food. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the kosher food for the Jewish people. So we go and search that out. How do we get that? How do we buy that? But we have a national grocer that says, yes, we can help you with that. You know, so there's a lot of different needs. People from different countries now all over the United States like different food. You can't just say, here, take this can of food that you're going to love. And they're like, I don't even know what it is.
SpaghettiOs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the need's really big still. I mean, the ability to go in and make a difference, we see it. We see it every single time. The advantage that we have from our perspective is boots on the ground. We don't necessarily see any divide that we hear about all the time on the news. The people that we work with and the volunteers that we have and the people we serve, it's one state, one world under God, and the, you know, the availability of us to be able to work with them is just a powerful time. So it's there, the need's there. We're excited to continue. God keeps opening doors for us to do bigger and bigger things, and that's been fun and exciting to do. And I'm excited to see what 22 is going to do, 2022, and the opportunities that are going to come along now, and the growth into the Nashville area, and obviously, wherever God leads us into other areas.
Wherever is next. And you know, never know what that is. Another kind
right.
of
thing. Right.
You talked to real something that I think is important, and that is the how everyone is connected and not as divided as we may sometimes think. You guys know me. I work in the news industry, and you do sometimes can get hit over the head with, God, we're just such a divided country right now. And left or right or black or white or whatever it is.
Right.
But need or hunger knows nothing. It just you aren't.
Right.
And, talk a little bit about that. Different groups, and you just spoke about Afghan refugees. I mean, you're seeing people from all walks of life.
Right.
People driving up in BMWs that are saying, "Hey, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in a while." Talk a little bit about the different people you're seeing.
Wow. Just like you said, it's everybody. It's people that don't even speak our language, and they'll come through our distribution lines. And we'll get calls from churches to say, hey, can you help us? This whole apartment complex needs help. Can you help us feed them? So we raise money to help feed them. And if everybody that's listening to this would give $25 a month, that's all, $25 a month.
$1 a day.
You know, less than $1 a day. Mm-hmm. That would be great. I mean, it's not asking a lot. It's not asking for millions. It's $25 a month, you know, at foodforthesoul.org. And
yeah, we give freely. So to your point, Austin, we see a lot of different people. We know the ones that are in the part where they need the help. And like you said, there's people, whether you walk up barefoot or drive up in a Mercedes, we don't know your story, right? God does. We don't know why you are where you're at, but there's a lot of reasons through the pandemic. There's a lot of reasons that have happened, people losing their jobs, people not getting the ability to get to work, the whole thing, paying for welfare, basically, and not people not necessarily wanting to go back. The workforces are all over the place, and those people struggle that are trying to make it. So we're here to help. And we do not ask for anything. We don't ask why you've come. We will pray with you. That is something we will do. There's no charge. There's no cost. There's no qualification, right? You just find out where we're at, and then we're here to help.
And I wanted to, I know this is kind of a resetting thing in my mind, because here we are on video and I haven't talked to you guys in a while. We haven't done this. And I just want to remind people, and maybe sometimes I don't think you guys do it enough. Mm-hmm. But you sit there and look at where you came from. I remember meeting Bob way back in a Bible study, and he had talked about me and my wife got our SUV full of food, and we just went to school and started passing it out. And that's really where it started. That's it. Yeah. And now you've expanded. You're a food pantry. Right. You're taking care of whole apartment buildings. You've expanded to another state. You did it in the middle of a pandemic. You've both gone through health issues. I mean, it's just, you want to talk about, you know, if an atheist is listening to this, I'm like, explain this story to me. I mean, this is G-O-D, and I don't think that there's any doubt about it. So
no doubt.
Talk a little bit about yourself. I don't know. I know if you step back and look back, what, 11 years, 12 years ago now?
13 years.
13 years when you started? Yeah. And where you're at now, would you have ever thought this is where God's taken you and expanded like this?
No, it was amazing. I was sitting in this house at our kitchen table, and I'm reading Matthew, and it said, you know, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. And if you don't, the goats are on the left, you're going to go straight to hell. And the people on the right, the sheep, are going to go to heaven. I'm like, well, that's kind of harsh. I'm like, So I read past it. And I read past it, and the Lord said, go back and read it again. So I read it again with punctuation out loud, and it didn't sound better. And he goes, Kimberly, I want you to try. And I'm like, what do you mean try? Like what? Feed the hungry? How do you do that? So, and I thought to myself, if I died today and met Jesus, he would ask me, Kimberly, why didn't you try? So if I try and fail, I could say, hey, I tried. I tried, I failed, and I made it. So I looked at our family at that point and said, you know, the Lord said he'd like us to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. And they all said, okay. So being called and just saying yes and following his lead through these 13 years has been the most incredible life that we could ever have possibly lived. It hasn't been easy. I mean, we have things in our house and little storage units, and now we have a donated space, and you know, it just grew. It God just took us from one point to the next point, and we just said okay, and it's kind of like, okay, what do we do today, Lord? And we just listen and walk with him, and it's beautiful. And our whole family works for Food for the Soul. Our daughter is such a big impact, and our son, and it's been great.
Both of our sons are involved, and it, like you said, we started out not really knowing, right? We did some clothing, we started doing food. And once we did like 100 meals, we're like, wow, that's a really big number. Can you imagine that?
Right? Like 100 million or something?
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just kept going. And from our car, from our house to a 4-foot by 4-foot storage unit, we were living large at that point, right? And then just keeping having it grow every time. And when we hit 100,000 meals, we're like, okay, now how did that even happen? And
I don't think we started counting until like 3 years in. Like we're like, so now we better start to count. So it's crazy, you know, it's just beautiful.
And we really, story. You know, one, it's faith-based, right? It's God's behind all this. Two, again, I'll say it again, together we can make a difference. It's partnerships, it's, you know, and volunteers like you and your help and all that you've done for us, Austin, and the ability for us to come together and reach out to these different people It is really, it's really been amazing, right, to see, you know, our new friend Joe Looney from the Cowboys, right, jumping in with us and helping, and the people from Ray from the Texas Rangers and the Texas Motor Speedway and Classic Chevrolet. You all have those other abilities to go out and help us, help the community, right? And there's a lot in there, a lot of organizations that can come alongside of us and help make a difference, right? Together we can make a difference.
Yeah, and I remember just recently on the NFL Honors, they had a guy and on who won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And he talked about, he was standing on the field after a football game, and a player from the opposing team said, "Hey, Whit," it's Andrew Whitworth, and he didn't know who he was, and he was kind of looking at him a little off, and the guy ran up to him, little young guy, and he said, "I don't know if you remember, but you sat down and talked to me when I was 8 years old in the Boys and Girls Club of Cincinnati when you were with the Bengals."
Right.
And he said, "I'll never forget that moment. It made such an impact on my life." And he knew at that point that he could do it. And he made it to the NFL.
Wow.
I'm not a big, you know, no one should just throw a bunch of honors on me for doing that. But those little things you may think are so significant make a huge difference in some people's life. And you guys have touched so many with just, "Hey, I was down and out. I was hungry." And that meal and that prayer may have set me on a path that I never looked back.
Right.
So, and it's not just you guys, anybody can do it. It's just like you said, together we make a difference. And so, well, it's almost about that time. And we always do this at the end of it. We say a prayer to end it. So it's usually Kimberly, if you want to do it again, Kim, you're more than welcome to do it here.
Thanks. Lord, it's an honor just to be here to voice who you are and Food for the Soul, what you've done through Food for the Soul, Lord. We're here to follow you and to feed your children, to show them that they're loved. You said, "Feed the children." It's a three words, and it's, "I love you." You show us how much you love us as we go each and every day. We ask you to expand our kingdom, bless our footsteps, and expand your kingdom, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.